Praise the Lord. I'm so happy that the weather is just displaying the beauty of God today. It kind of just refreshes your soul no matter what is going on, you know? So today we are going to go back to Matthew chapter 13, and we are obviously skipping ahead to the parable in chapter 13. And so I'll begin reading. Now, for a reference, you can see the same info in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9, verses 14 to 26, and also Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. And that is the parable of the sower and the seed. Okay. We know too that Jesus was the greatest storyteller, right? And that he spoke a lot of stories, or what we would call parables. And that was a teaching method that was common in that day, even among the other rabbis. So this was a common way of communicating, especially when you consider that a lot of people in that day did not were not reading, right? So it was a by and large a oral society back in that day, and the people that read were those that studied the law and the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. And so reading was not like it is today, where everyone can read. So oftentimes the things that were described to the people generally was in story form so that they could apply it to their lives. And you know, Jesus, the way that he tells the stories and the parables is really incredible, because he can say something that is so plain to understand and yet it remains hidden. So, and also that it leads you to deeper and deeper things in the Lord, right? So this is a common parable, but I'm going to read it and then just teach on that today. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. So here we see that the multitudes are growing. And in order to be effective, Jesus removes himself from a distance, probably not to be crowded by the people, as well as to be heard by all the people. Okay. So he got into a boat, went out into the lake. And he sat down and he spoke to all the people. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. So we don't know all that God spoke through Jesus at the time, but we do know he did say this particular parable. And it goes as follows. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Now, when we are talking about behold, it means to grab your attention, you know, to be alert, to pay attention. A sower went out to sow. So here's Jesus. He's in the boat, right? The people on the shore, and he looks up and he sees on a hill behind the people a sower sowing seed. And so then he begins that parable. And as the sower sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, when it got hot, and they were scorched, they had no root, and they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus heard from the disciples, and they said, why do you speak in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever has not, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Okay. This part of talking about the kingdom is not just about the future state, right? The eternal state, but it is about the present spiritual community of which Jesus is the head, okay? Hearts are subject to him as sovereign and as king of a kingdom. We know ourselves that we are citizens from above, and oftentimes we're reminded by our everyday situations that this is not my destiny, this earth, but I have a destiny. And it's amazing too, because when you keep in mind that our destinies are eternal, it helps to diminish our present day troubles, doesn't it? It really does. So Jesus is out of the house, sat by the sea. The crowds are gathering. He gets in the boat, and that's where he taught from. And the crowd was on shore, as I said. And as he was looking out at the crowds, he notices behind him, as he raises his eyes, he sees the sower on the hill, like I said, behind the beach, scattering his seed. And the birds, you know how birds are at the beach, right? They're flying around as he's sowing the seed. And here Jesus was sowing the word of God, and his disciples were following him in the way that he taught and preached the gospel. So they're following and they're being taught the real meaning behind what he is speaking, okay? And so with us as well, when we are born of the Spirit, we understand things that are not for everyone's ears. And it takes heart to understand, to see, to hear, and to understand, right? So as we continue to follow Jesus, we will understand even these simple, simple stories at a deeper and deeper level. And if anyone has ever heard Pastor Oz's message on this parable, I don't know where it is on the website, but it is really, really good. It's way different than what I'm going to be doing today, but it's really good and a good reference if you want to go to a deeper level. He teaches in that way. So we see here in this parable the sower, the seed, and the soils, right? And it was pretty well known that the rule of three was present in those folk tales back in the day, and those stories, there's always this, you know, three in repetition, the three talents, and, you know, the other parables as well. So that's something that is just kind of a little info. And then also there's the two brothers, and, you know, all that. So those kind of things are familiar with those tales that were being told in that day, those stories and those parables. So some seed fell first by the wayside, and the wayside hearer had a closed mind, okay? It was hardened, by the people and animals physically as they, traveled along that path. If you've ever seen compacted earth, that's what it was like, right? And so the seed failed to penetrate, and it was pretty much fair game for the birds. And the seed was on the surface, okay? It was sown liberally, but it was not in. It was not in. It was on, but not in. And that is typical of some people we meet in our lifetimes who have the word setting on them, but it doesn't go any deeper. And those are the people that say the salvation prayer and you never see them ever again. And I think, in a lot of ways, they're really not believers. I just don't. If it's not in your heart, how can you say you're an authentic believer? Okay. But you never know what's going to happen, right? Something could happen and the soil gets mixed up and through crisis or situations and that seed finally goes into the earth. We don't know. We can't judge where people's hearts are at. That's just above our pay grade. Now we can discern, right, by the Spirit and all that, but we can't judge like God judges. Those people are never going to make it, so on and so forth. So the sower really could be any of us as believers as we continue to live the gospel in the world that we're in, dispensing the word of God in action, in word, in deed, all that. And also to the sower we know as Jesus as well. And in fact, when the sower sowed liberally and it just landed on the surface and not in the surface, we can see it's kind of like how Jesus was when he was keeping himself somewhat hidden until his hour had come, right? And it's kind of like those who have an ear to hear, let them hear, which we read. So again, when it's us doing the sowing and we're witnessing and declaring the gospel, the emphasis is on the seed, not us as a sower. The emphasis should always be on the word of God, right? And so we'll move on. Some seed fell on stony places where the ground was shallow and where the seed rested on the shallow ground, but it was on a shelf of rock, so to speak. So the seed grew quickly in this parable on thin soil, but it only lived a really short time because of its shallowness. Once the sun came up, right, it withered. Now, you guys, if you've ever had plants, you know what this is exactly about. Sometimes they take, sometimes they don't, right? And then if you don't have the proper conditions with sun and the proportion of water, and if it's over much water, you'll kill it. If it's not enough water, you'll kill that plant. You know what I mean? The conditions are right. And so when this seed fell, it was only very shallow. So again, we need to keep ourselves from judging where people are at and what God is doing in their life. And also note too that you can think someone's really on board and it's only temporary growth and then they're gone. Now we've seen this practically speaking in our church, right? We've seen people come and go quickly. We've seen people come and stay. And when things got too hot, so to speak, or God was wanting to go deeper, they stopped growing. They left. It was just too hard, and some people just don't have the vision that our pastor's been given from the Lord, and so it's a temporary thing. And you know what? When When that happens, you bless people. You don't curse them because they couldn't make it here. I believe if you're here, you're called to be here, you know, and that as long as you are willing to let God have his way in your heart, you're going to be here. You know, the only difference for me would be if someone was sent out, you know, that would be considered a promotion, so to speak, and not that, you know, it's on shallow ground, so to speak, or, you know, it's temporary growth, but it may be a promotion, you know, when we see people going out into the missions and so on. Okay, and then we have the thorns, which was really decent soil, except for it had wild growth, you know, and everyone knows who has ever been in a garden that the weeds really come up way faster than the plant, right? And so if you don't take care of the weeds, you will end up overgrown and choked out, right? So that is the thorns represent good soil or a good heart, right? That is crowded out with other things. The stony ground hearer is an emotional person, emotionally minded. And we all know our emotions can't be depended on. They change from one thing to another. And we are to be followers in faith, right? And not just by emotions. I'm not talking about having a good heart, because that's good soil. But having a good heart and a variety of other things that we maybe are not even necessarily bad, but just busyness in life can crowd out the life of God in you, you know, and start choking your faith because you spend less and less time taking care of the plant and more time neglecting the weeds, okay? So that kind of hearer receives the seed, but it doesn't have root, okay? That seed is on the surface, in, but not down. It's on, it's in, and it's not down deep enough for it to have root, a root system, right? It still is what we would consider superficial. It is not born of incorruptible seed, but transitory or temporary. And then the thorny ground here also can have a wandering mind. The seed takes root, but bears no fruit. It's choked. And like I said, the seed is on, it's in, it's down, but it does not come up. There's no fruit. It's choked. Those are people who are preoccupied or double-hearted with the ways of the world and their Christianity. They're following Jesus, because those two things, even if, like I said, they're good things, family, friends, hobbies, if anything gets in the way of your relationship with the Lord, as I said on Sunday, it's idolatry, and it needs to be dealt with, right? Because idolatry will choke out what God has given you, you know, and even the grace to do what he wants you to do or to be what he wants you to be. And those forces are in opposition of each other, the world and the ways of the spirit, right? I mean, when Jesus says, you know, if you want to keep your life, you have to lose it. Now, what kind of mathematics and what is that all about, right? His ways are not our ways. But if you want to lose your life and lay your life down for the sake of the kingdom, you will gain your life. You'll not only gain your life as far as quality here on earth, but you will gain your life eternally. You know, there is that part of the kingdom where when we are in eternity, we are, what's the word for it? Evaluated, right, by how we lived for him. And we know that wood, hay, stubble will be burned up, and the things that were spent for eternity in our loving God and loving the world are going to be like precious gems. And you know what? There's not going to be a competition in heaven either. It's not going to be, hey, you got a ruby and I got all this or whatever. It's not going to be like that. When we are in eternity, imagine when you read the book of Revelation, how God fills all of heaven with his glory. So whether you're hanging on the fence here, so to speak, or you're one of the disciples that are seated next to him, you're still in the glory. There's no punishment there. So it's not going to be, you know, a competition or anything like that once we get there. We'll maybe be in the back of the line, you know, but that's okay. We're still under the glory. But it does give you inspiration to invest in your life in eternal things now. You know, not because of what you're going to get. We're not going to have literal mansions in heaven that I know of. We are going to have a place that belongs to the kingdom. We are going to learn forever the fathomless knowledge and glory of Jesus and the Father. That's enough to put our lives in perspective, right? So that we invest in the things of eternity. So some of the things that can choke out our life with God are things of pleasure or enjoyment, our indulgences, whether it be, and I said it on Sunday, whether it's, you know, shopping. It doesn't have to be sinful, whether it's relationships that are more important to you than God is, you know, or, you know, that get in the way of your assembly together with the saints or whatever. I have a family meeting. I know with Pastor Oz, he doesn't schedule anything on a Sunday until after a certain time because that is his priority. And for the most part, most of you that I can see, that's your priority as well. So praise God for that. But there are those who get choked up, and then all of a sudden you go, where is so-and-so? And where is so-and-so? And after a while, you forget, and then you're reminded. And so I believe in the coming days, we're going to see a big return of people that have left, maybe not even just our church, but left the Lord, you know, that are in a state where that scripture is fulfilled, you know, let your sons and daughters come from afar. I mean, my son is afar, literally and spiritually. We all have family members that are afar, that I believe that God is going to be true to his promises when it comes to our inheritance. I hope I live to see the day. We may not, but I hope I live to see the day when my family is all in alignment with the Lord and passionately in love with him. And I know when my mom was ill, she prayed that all her children would be serving the Lord. And then my brother, I mean, there are things that have, my brother had a horrible divorce and was suicidal, and he came to Christ, and he's now a pastor. So everything worked out, you know what I mean? And my mom got her inheritance. My brother Mike, he was always a good guy, one of these seats. You know, he was a good guy, good, just a really good man, really a servant, giving and all that. And, you know, he just didn't go to church for a long time. And he is really seeking God and really following the Lord, him and his wife both. My sister Lori, you know, she has a relationship with the Lord. It may not be exactly what I would prefer, you know, as far as, you know, attending church and all that stuff, but she did. And my mom was granted her inheritance. And I will say this about her as well. She was a hidden gem. She was one of those people that prayed behind the scenes. She was not a person and hated any kind of attention on herself. She was just that way. And she was a really gracious woman. And really, I think her life, when she came to Christ, really, really changed. And as she got weaker and weaker, she got stronger and stronger in the faith. You know, and I know where she is, and that's just awesome. So that's really exciting to me that God, he speaks his word, he says he watches over it, and he performs it. So there are some things that we cannot make happen, right? There's sometimes you can't even make yourself repent. You want to, but unless God gives you the unction of the Spirit, you're repenting in faith. And eventually it becomes reality, right? But there are times you just go, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I cannot manufacture something that is not there. And if you do, you're walking in a religious spirit. And you know what? We cannot walk apart from Jesus. We cannot do anything apart from him. It's impossible. It's impossible to even live a good life without Jesus. Now, I know there's good people out there, but as far as believers, I just don't think you can have it both ways. You know, at one point when you give your heart to the Lord, you're in. You ain't never getting out. I mean, I talked a little bit about Sunday, how when I was backslidden for a while, you know, I came back to the Lord, and I didn't know if that was going to be the last time I would acknowledge and hear what he was speaking to me, because there was a kind of a time that God spoke to me, and I didn't know if it would be passing if I didn't respond then and there. And actually, it changed my entire life then and there. Mary Jo came back to the Lord because of it. You know, other people. My husband and I got legally married, you know, and he came to Christ. So, you know, God is, he's just so faithful in our lives. So, okay. And I think, just as a word of caution, I think we need to be really careful to measure out our entertainment, measure out our hobbies and all that kind of stuff, so that it doesn't become something more than it needs to be. He probably wants food, I guess is. And also too, we know beyond a shadow of doubt that our culture and the American way of living is so involved in entertainment. You know, and like I said on Sunday, lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. That was me. I lived for pleasure, and pleasure, even sinful pleasure, is good for a moment, and then it turns to things that are death, you know. But so we have to be careful how much and pace ourselves with those outside things, right? You know what I'm saying. And when we are dealing with those thorny ground hearers, we also see that there's good soil there, like I said, and that the plant is there, but it's underground and it doesn't come up. And there's the growth and there's the promise of fruit, but the fruit doesn't come. And we are meant to bear fruit, right? Lastly, the good ground, the good soil, good heart is prepared soil. It's tilled or threshed, so to speak. And when we go through, that is God's preparation. Oh, I have to sneeze. Thank you. It is God's preparation for oftentimes a promotion. And it doesn't feel that way in the beginning, right? When you're investing 100% of who you are from your heart, God will promote you. And you will get the best thing that you could ever even dream of. And you'll get more of Jesus. And it'll change your life again and again and again, right? So the good ground is soil that's tilled, making it easy for prosperous growth, okay? So when our hearts go through under the direction of the Holy Spirit, it breaks up ground, right? To receive what God is going to plant. And then there will be growth. Then there will be fruit. But like I said, you want to save your life, you'll lose it. If you want to lose your life for the sake of the gospel, embrace the cross daily, you will gain your life. The good ground hearer is steadfast, understanding in their mind and in their heart. They have deep, deep roots and bear much, much fruit. So the good ground hearer, the seed was on, the seed was in, the seed was down and up. Okay, so it's embraced fully. They're fully holding to the work of God, to the word of God. It's entered the whole soul, filling the mind, filling the heart, filling your conscience, and filling your will. And that is what is the dominion of the Holy Spirit in our lives over our souls. Our mind, our will, and our emotions means every part of you is in submission to the Holy Spirit. And that is good soil. So we want to pay attention and not sleep, so to speak, or opt out when the word of God is coming forth. You know, whoever is delivering it, there's something for you from God. And sometimes we don't want to hear. A lot of times, I don't want to hear what he's speaking to me. I told you, I wrestled with this whole issue of TV. I can't stop watching something once I started. I can't. And you know what? When this last time when I was ill, the Lord really, really got me when it came to entertainment, when it came to the TV. And I've been tested since. You know, you watch something, something's not kosher, and the Holy Spirit will say, okay, what are you going to do now? You can turn it off. And I'm finding myself, it's easier and easier just to turn it off. And that is, honestly, for me, it's a miracle. Because my life, I feel like sometimes it's so stressful, I deserve to just vacate on the couch and just chill out. And, you know, watching TV to me is not an issue. It's what I'm watching or you know, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some things you can hardly watch anything anymore without same-sex relationships or nudity or, you know, all kind of things. And so we have to be careful. And the scriptures say we are to protect our hearts. We are to protect the anointing. We are anointed to receive the word of God. We have to protect that anointing by not letting the weeds and our own desires and pleasure and all that crowd out. what God wants to speak to us, especially in the Word and by the Spirit. So we all want to be good ground, amen? And we know that this whole thing of the good ground hearer, or the good soil, good heart, is the same as the first commandment, loving God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, everything that you have. And like Teresa said, she knows she's got some of it, but not all of it. And I do too. We all do. We all are challenged continually to give up those kind of cordoned off places. Some of it may have to do with your indulgence. Some of it may have to do with your shame or your pain and not being vulnerable or not trusting God. You know, we have to learn to trust God, especially if we've been mistrustful most of our lives because of situations and so on. You know, I know a lot of believers that live on a, if you want to even look at the soil, they live on that, just on that top layer. You know what I mean? They move and they, you know, they have their lives and they feel good about themselves because they're following the Lord, but they're just not letting it go down and then back up again. That's also speaks of resurrection, doesn't it? And it reminds me of the story of the wheat that goes into the ground, you know, that in order to have resurrection, we have to have death. And how many of you know, none of us really likes to experience the death, right? I don't like it, you know, when my whatever dies, you know, a dream or something, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. I can't even think of anything offhand. But, you know, whenever I have to die, like say I have to die to my critical spirit about somebody and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask for blessing and I will do it until my faith gets in gear and I really mean it from my heart. And then the fruit comes up and I have love and I have compassion and I have kindness, but it takes me lying down and taking to the cross my opinions or my thoughts or whatever, my feelings. You know, so yeah. So again, the word in this last, the good ground is received, understood, and it yields, and it's bound to Jesus by faith and in faith, serving to glorify God and to benefit others. I'm going to say that again. The word that we receive is understood. It's yielded, it's soft, it's able to take in, it's bound to Jesus in faith, serving him to glorify him and to benefit others. Everything that you have been through in your life that's negative, God wants to redeem. And he wants to redeem so that it will benefit others. So I may have a different language for somebody, you know, that experienced some of what I experienced growing up. For those that were abused as children, they have a heart for children, you know, and so on and so forth. So whatever you have gone through is meant, when God redeems it, to benefit others. And that's part of investing in the kingdom of God as well, to glorify him, even in that very trauma, and that we don't worship at the altar of our pain, but rather let it go. And I know too, there are so many that are unwilling to go to those really deep, dark, scary places in our hearts. It's a surprise to you when God touches you in those places that that's even present. It really is. It's a surprise. I mean, how many times, Janet, have I said, are you saying, because I'm getting corrected or with pastor, wherever, are you, wait a minute, are you saying And it's a total shock to me that that's who I was, that's who I am, and that it was God's mercy to identify that so that I could grow and pull those weeds out. You know, we cooperate with the Spirit when He nails us, right? And it makes room for the roots to go deeper. It gives room for more fruit to grow. And sometimes things happen unjustly. You're just chopped off, you know? But that pruning is God too. See, we give way too much credit to the devil. As believers, we are not under his dominion. The world is, but we are not. And we have a tendency to think that everything that comes our way that's negative is the enemy. Sometimes it is. We know we do warfare, right? But a lot of times, you think it's the enemy, and it's God. It's God. And it's shocking, you know, that you go through things and you go, oh my gosh, Jesus was right here. I didn't recognize him. I thought he was just an ordinary gardener. I thought he was just, you know, the Samaritan going down the road or whatever, right? And we don't recognize him. So as we are warned in the scriptures in Matthew, you know, today, if we hear his voice, harden not our hearts, because we can become those who hear but don't hear, those who speak, you know, those who have all these issues that we don't want, because God wants otherwise for us. So it's almost like, in a way, to me, like a tease, like, do you want to hear? Do you want to see? Or do you want to stay blind? Or do you want to stay deaf? And when we make those decisions of not listening to the Holy Spirit, that little area is blind and that little area is deaf. And the Lord also, what scripture just jumped in my mind was that he would rather have us healed rather than lame and disabled. And that's not talking physically. That's talking spiritually. How many of us, even for many years of our Christian life, have walked around disabled or lame, not able to walk straight with the Lord, not able to walk steady with the Lord. And, you know, as we grow in the Lord, hopefully we're at a point now where we're not in that place, right? So again, Jesus mentions, you know, that there was a yield of 100, 60, and 30. And 30 is the least or the lowest amount of yield, right? 60 is kind of the intermediate or medium yield, and 100 was the most or the highest yield. And how many of us want to be 100 yield Christians? I do. I know it's in my spirit. God put it in my spirit. He put it in your spirit. And all we have to do is cooperate with his spirit, right? And we will maximize our influence to the world and in glorifying God. It is a known fact that when seed is sown, that 3/5 of it does not grow into harvest. That's like regular farming, you know, info. That's a lot. 3/5, that's a lot. But God continues to sow liberally. And we learn from this parable that the greatness, and the privilege of those who sow the seed and those who receive it. Our individual responsibility for improving those privileges. The terrible doom of those who hear to no profit. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3. I think verse 4. Okay. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. We talked a little bit about us being a house, right? Unless God builds our house, our inner man, and dwells in each apartment or room or whatever, we labor in vain. Whenever we do anything that is apart from his grace, and we are doing it out of duty or discipline or, you know, without heart, it's in vain. It's 1 Corinthians 13, you know, what love is. We have to build like that. And because that's what Jesus does. That's how we inhabit what he gives us. We are a tent. We are a tabernacle, right? We are a temple. And so that same thought of letting him go to all those places, he needs to occupy the basement where all your junk is, or your cupboards where things fall on your head. I'm talking about my own house. You know what I'm saying? He needs to go into those closets where, you know, you haven't even looked in there for 15 years, you know, and it's just, and you know what? When you do that, you're going to find things that you're going to like too. You're going to find photos. You're going to find memories. You're going to find things that you thought were not very valuable to be valuable, you know? So there's a blessing when we allow God to go in those places. Okay. Jesus, profound truth about the 30, 60, 100, about all these different soils, to the degree in which we allow him to work those things in our life, you know, we will be blessed. And in the scriptures, when he tells the disciples, when they ask, you know, like, you know, why do you always speak in puzzles and whatever? I mean, how many times you leave a message and you're like, I don't get it. And then later on, you're like, oh, boom, the light went on, right? Sometimes it's just too much in one sitting and you're just like, whoa, this is a lot. Like I just say, I can't hear no more. And then you go home and like the light goes on, you're like, oh, wow. I don't know how many times I've said, you know, well, blah, 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 in my opinion, and then turn around and been like, ugh, God, you nailed me. I'm this or I'm that, you know, I'm angry or I'm unforgiving or whatever, fill in the blank. So he hides certain things from those who would abuse it, that word, that knowledge. And he imparts things to those who obey it, who obey the word. He gives us revelation to those who obey his word. And to those who abuse it or do not value it, he hides it. That's the whole meaning behind him speaking in parables. And like for us, we have this word, right? We can see it. We can glean, you know, its meaning. Pretty simple. I think it's pretty simple. And yet, if we were to go home and look at all this and do this before the Lord, I think you'd be surprised at what happened, what he reveals in your heart and in your mind, you know. And that there are some things, when you're not ready for it or you're in opposition of it, that he doesn't share with you. He hides it. And there are some things that he reveals. When your heart is right, you know, and you're repenting easily, it's like you're vulnerable to the Holy Spirit to such a degree that you are filled and overflowing, which we sing about all the time. We want to be overflowing and not just have just enough, you know, not just have crumbs. But God wants to do some abundant, liberal, generous things in our lives, and especially in our hearts. You know, I mean, what better way can he be glorified than when we allow him to do what he wants in us, both individually and corporately? Okay. Again, he's concealing and revealing the mysteries of his kingdom on a continual basis with us. And, you know, I could find myself in shallow soil about a certain subject, say, a family member that I struggle with. I could be, have that seed, that word about, you know, loving and forgiveness and all that just be on the surface. Sometimes it goes a little bit below, but it's not bearing fruit. And I know explicitly and specifically certain things in my life where I can say, this is on the surface, this is on and in, this is on in and down, and this is on in, down, and hallelujah, it's up. You know, we can do that. If you want to even go before the Lord yourself and just say, okay, Lord, where am I at? Where is my heart at? What kind of soil am I having with this particular issue or this particular person or this particular situation? He'll tell you. He will tell you. So that is, let's go back to Matthew, and then I'm going to wrap this up. And this is the blessing, guys, in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your eyes are blessed because you see the Lord. And your ears, for they hear. I want to be that. I want Jesus' words right here to be said to me. Blessed, Janine, are your eyes because they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. And I want that for every single one of you here, to hear God speaking that to you. Blessed are your eyes because you see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. Okay. Now let's just finish in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who bears fruit and produces some 160 and 30-fold. Okay, we'll just stop there. So that is what we just read, was my whole message. I could have just read that and we could be done. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.